الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, another new episode of our program, Repentance. Inshallah Azzawajal, in this episode, we will try to cover those things which keep us away from repenting, those elements that become a cause for avoiding repentance, those reasons that actually become a means for delaying in repentance. Inshallah Azzawajal, we will try to go through them and also look at their solutions, that how can we overcome them. Before that, inshallah Azzawajal, as usual, let's first of all listen to a virtue of reciting durood, sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The holy prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam stated that perform hajj, undoubtedly its reward is greater than participating in 20 ghazawat, and reciting Salat upon me one time is equal to that. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, we have been encouraged and instructed to perform Hajj, as performing Hajj is greater than participating in 20 Ghazawat. And in today's day and age, of course, we can't gain this honor of participating in a Ghazawa. And reciting Salat upon the Prophet, sending peace and salutations upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, only once makes one attain same amount of reward. Again, what a great reward and how small an effort there is. But of course, when we do so, when we recite the durood, when we recite salat upon the Prophet, it should be wholeheartedly with devotion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So dear viewers, and we're talking about those actions, those reasons, those causes because of which a person normally delays in repenting. What are those causes? One of the causes which become an obstacle in a person repenting, or which serve as an obstacle for a person to keep delaying his repentance, is to stay heedless of the consequence of the sins. A person remains negligent of the consequences of sins. So this can be termed as the first reason because of which a person delays in repenting. Now, this perhaps might be the reason that a human being has been made fearful of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran and in various ahadith as well. There have been many narrations that admonish us, that warn us of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we need to understand is that why we tend to sort of ignore the punishment of Allah Almighty and we fall into sins is perhaps because the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the hereafter, is in the grave, is going to be in future. It's not something that we can physically see ourselves right now at this moment of time. Whereas when a person indulges in sins and follows his carnal desires, the pleasure that he receives, that pleasure is felt or is gained straight away. And this is a natural phenomenon of a person, that something that he can physically observe in front of him, that will have a more effect on that person. The person will value that very thing more as compared to something which is not physically in front of him. And this is the case with adab, with punishment and reward, and with ma'azallah, falling into sins, that the promise of reward and punishment, of course, is going to be in the hereafter, in the grave, which is something hidden from us as of now. At the moment, we can't see it. That's why we tend to put that at the back of our mind. And the pleasure over a sin, of course, is felt straight away, immediately, and one can feel it, one can see it, hence a person involves in it. For example, whenever someone earns money, wealth through haram means, whether it is through interest, through bribery, or other unlawful means, then the accumulation of money is there. His bank balance would be increasing. He would see an effect taking place straight away, physically in front of him. So he naturally gets inclined towards it. Whereas the punishment that has been mentioned for a fornicator or for the one who earns haram sustenance, unlawful earnings, that punishment would, of course, one have to face in the hereafter, once a person goes in his grave or on the day of judgment. So because this punishment cannot be physically seen then and there, this is one of the reasons why a person becomes heedless of repenting straight away. Now, what is the solution for this? A person should contemplate, should ponder, should reflect upon the fact that although these punishments, although these torments, they are not visible to me right now, however, even then, they are truth. They will inevitably take place. It is not that because I can't see them right now, they wouldn't take place, or I won't be facing them. This is not the fact. They are true. They will eventually take place. So we need to understand that whatever happens, the punishments which we ignore at the time being, they are truth. They will actually take place. Now, there are many worldly benefits which we normally abandon, which we normally leave because of potential future risk of losses. Now, for example, if a doctor tells us that you have heart problem, and avoid fatty foods, avoid oily foods, avoid fried foods, which we love. Now, just because the doctor has told us that this will be harmful for you, as of now, we've not witnessed the harmful effects, but the doctor has told us that because you are a heart patient, if you carry on eating oily foods, fatty foods, then this would end up being very dangerous for your heart. You will suffer a heart attack, a heart stroke, so on and so forth. Now, despite that fatty food, oily food, fried food being very, very tasty for us, still we will leave it. We will abandon it upon the advice of the doctor. Why? Because although we love the taste of the food, but because now we know there is a potential risk in future, we stop having it. Why? Because our health is more precious to us. Our heart is more precious to us. So the taste of delicious food, the oily food that we like, we compromise it. We compromise eating it over our health. And all this is happening just because of the advice of a doctor. Now, if we take the same principle into consideration and see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our Lord Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding us, is telling us that if you carry out these acts, although it will make your nafs feel pleasure, but there is punishment for them in the hereafter. In the same way, as a person would abandon eating oily food, fatty food, despite liking it, upon the advice of the doctor, similarly, we should develop a mindset that we should abandon sins upon the admonishment and warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although we like the taste of fatty food, oily food, but our doctor has told us that although we will enjoy the taste, relish the taste of the food, but it will harm our heart in the longer run. So we leave delicious fatty food, oily food. But over here, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that although there will be some kind of pleasure for you in the sin, but you will face punishment in the hereafter, then why don't we stop sinning upon this admonition of Allah Almighty? Whereas we are willing to leave our favorite food upon the advice of the doctor, and the favorite food is permissible to eat. Upon the advice of the doctor, we are willing to leave something which is permissible just for the well-being of our health. But upon the instructions and commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do not we leave a sin which is haram, that is not permissible, it is haram and is destructive for our faith? So this is how we should develop our mindset, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to stop sinning for the betterment of our akhirah, of our hereafter. Hence, we should adopt this approach and we should stop committing sins and come towards repentance. So in this way, inshallah, if we contemplate and if we reflect upon these matters, then this obstacle will hopefully, inshallah azawajal, be alleviated. It will be removed. Now, let's go towards the second reason which ulama have mentioned in the books. They state that the second reason because of which a person normally delays in repenting is why? Because the relishment, the enjoyment, the pleasure of sins, they overcome the heart. They overcome the heart of the person. And because of this, what happens is that sins, those wrongdoings, they become a routine part of that person's life. And those sins, they overcome the heart and the mind of the person such that he can't even imagine of abandoning those sins. He can't even think of leaving those sins. For example, the different sins, fornication, drinking alcohol, looking at non-mahram women, talking to non-mahram women, watching films, music, etc., etc. So many sins which, ma'azallah, have become a part of many people's daily routine. So a person becomes so used to committing those sins that he thinks that my life will be useless without these actions. So this is something, again, which serves as an obstacle in a person's repentance, and it keeps a person away from repenting. Now, what should such a person do? What is the solution for this? Let's look at this. Now, such kind of person, what he should think about is that he should reflect upon the fact that in this very short span of life, this life which is very short, in this life, I cannot leave these pleasures, these sins, which are a means of pleasure for me. I can't even think about leaving them, abandoning them. Then imagine, after I die, how would I bear the fact of missing upon the everlasting blessings of Jannah, of paradise? It is very difficult for me to abandon these so-called luxuries, so-called pleasures, these sins in this very short span of time, this very short span of life. It is very difficult for me to leave these sins in this short span of life. Then the hereafter is forever. It is eternal. There's no end to it. How would I bear being deprived of the blessings of the hereafter? And then the another thing that a person should think is that when I can't even go through the test of observing patience over abandoning these sins, I don't even possess this much power of observing patience over leaving these sins, these sinful actions, then how would I be able to bear the punishment of fire, the punishment of hell? If just abandoning these sins is very difficult for me, then how difficult it would be for me to bear the punishment of fire? And forget about it being difficult. No one can bear the punishment of fire. No one can bear the punishment of hell. So this person should think in this manner as well, that today is difficult for me to observe patience upon leaving these sins, then how would I observe patience upon the hardship, upon the difficulty of being inflicted with the punishment of fire? Although there's some kind of pleasure felt in these sins, but the consequence of these sins is a long, long, never-ending regret and remorse. One noble individual has beautifully said that do not commit a sin because of its pleasure, because the pleasure will go away, but the sin will remain recorded in your book of deeds. And never leave a pious deed because of its difficulty, because the difficulty will be removed, but the pious deed will remain recorded in your book of deeds. So if you contemplate and reflect upon this matter in this way, then this very obstacle and hindrance will also be removed, and a person will hopefully be able to repent. Now, once a person repents and treads upon the path of piety, then he will start feeling the pleasure of performing pious deeds. As noble predecessors, rahimahumullah, the awliya of Allah Almighty, they feel pleasure and charm, and they relish the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amount of satisfaction that they receive after performing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is beyond imagination, that cannot be expressed in words. Now, when a person who at once was feeling enjoyment in sins, now once he repents and starts treading upon the path of piety, when he starts performing good deeds, pious deeds, then a stage will come when he will start feeling enjoyment, and he will start enjoying worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this state will overcome him, then he will inshallah azzawajal be able to forget the sins all at once which he used to perform previously. And because of the pleasure of those sins, because of the enjoyment of those sins, he was unable to abandon them. Now when the enjoyment and charm of worship and righteous deeds will overcome his heart, then inshallah azzawajal he will completely forget the sins, and he will be on the right path after repenting. So this is how the person should think about this matter, and he should question himself accordingly. And this example is given that a person, he just keeps eating let's say dish A, and he's fond of it, and there are many other delicious dishes, other foods which are more delicious than dish A, but he keeps eating dish A. Now he hasn't tasted dish B, which is more tastier than dish A, and if anyone offers him to eat dish B, he says, no, I'm okay with dish A, this is the best thing in this world, I'm not going to eat anything else, I'm just going to eat dish A. Now eventually one day he thinks to himself that, you know, my friend, he keeps offering me dish B, let me just try a little bit of it. Now he tries dish B, and he finds out that its taste is even more delicious, more tastier than dish A, which I've been eating all that time. And now he says, I'm not going to go back to dish A, I'm going to eat dish B all my life, because this is more tastier, more delicious than dish A. So the same example applies over here, that a person who has not felt the pleasure and enjoyment of worship, how can he know that what enjoyment and what pleasure, charm there is in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is more, far more greater than the pleasure and enjoyment of sins? The pleasure and enjoyment of sins, that's destructive, that makes a person face destruction. Whereas the charm of worship, the enjoyment that one faces after worshipping Allah Almighty, the satisfaction that he feels after worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is beyond imagination, that cannot be expressed in words. So when a person starts enjoying this feeling, then of course he will never go back towards sins. The person who enjoys waking up for the Hajj Salah, the person who enjoys offering Ishraq and Chasht, the person who enjoys reciting the Holy Quran, how can he go back towards sins? Because initially, all the time is being spent in sinning. He hasn't got time to worship Allah Almighty. Now, he's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he feels satisfied after worshipping Allah Almighty. He's reciting the Quran, he's offering nawafil, he's offering tahajjud salah before fajr, he is offering Ishraq and Chasht after Fajr. Now he hasn't got time to go back to sins. So this is how he needs to reflect upon his state and come towards worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this element of satisfaction and enjoyment would keep him away from sins, inshallah azzawajal. And this is how, once he develops this mindset, then this barrier between him and repentance will also be alleviated, and he will also start repenting sincerely in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah azzawajal, in our next episode, we will cover other causes as well and look into their solution as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to overcome all these obstacles that serve as a barrier between us and repentance. And may Allah Almighty enable us to repent wholeheartedly and sincerely. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Forgive me. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Guide me. Have mercy on me. Guide me.